Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon, as I mentioned before, is drawn from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, and the many promises laid out there by God to his people. Especially, remember this verse as we proceed. I will rescue my flock, they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and be their shepherd. Thus our text. The Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel was recorded almost 600 years before Christ. It is a prophecy of his coming as judge and as shepherd of his people. In this prophecy, Jesus Christ is called the Lord's servant, David. David. And as you know, David, as a shepherd boy, slew lions and bears to protect his flock. He even famously slew Goliath to protect God's flock, his own people. And he was anointed by God, king and ruler of Israel. And as a man, he ruled Israel with a godly heart. And you can read what his heart says when you read the Psalms. The Christ to come is called here in Ezekiel David, because when the Christ comes, he will be anointed, chosen by God to be just such a shepherd, and he will be just such a king. The Lord says, I will set up over the sheep one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. There are a number of promises God makes to his people in the Old Testament lesson, but the one that covers them all is this: I will rescue them and bring them to their own land. To rescue and to bring to their own land, that means to save. To speak as generally as possible, Salvation is to be taken from a place of danger to a safe place. That's salvation. And God's promise of salvation is that he will someday take you from this world, this valley of sorrows, to be with him in heaven. And to wait there with him in safety until the final deliverance, when he will put your soul back into your raised, new, incorruptible body, wipe away this valley of sorrow, and place you in the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. Salvation is not a tax break or finding the perfect job. In fact, salvation is not found in this world. It is a treasure in heaven. Salvation is when all your enemies are destroyed by God, your king, and you live willingly and happily under his reign forever. And that salvation is yours, even now. Not in that no one can harm your body, but because you have faith. You believe in the promises of God. When you have faith and believe in the promises of God, you cannot lose your soul. So you can say, even in this world, I am, right now, saved by faith. How people were saved before Christ came is an issue to take up. And again, it is by faith. There is a false teaching in Christendom that before Jesus came, God's people were saved by keeping the law, God's law, and that it was only after Jesus came to die on the cross that people were saved by faith. And oh, isn't that so much easier? Satan never runs out of ways to twist the scriptures into knots to confuse people. Obedience to the law cannot, nor ever could, save a creation lost in sin. Ever since the beginning, Adam and Eve's fall into sin and death and damnation, ever since then, they were saved from these enemies by faith. Faith in Christ. They didn't necessarily know who Christ would be, when he would be born, that he would be born of a virgin, suffer under Pontius Pilate, be crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day rise again. They didn't know all the details, but they were saved by faith in the Christ nonetheless. How is it they knew, thousands of years ahead of time, that God would send a Christ? Because he had promised. Because from the very moment sin opened their eyes and they knew they were naked and hid from God, ever since that time, God found them. And he made them a promise that very day in Genesis 3:15. Immediately, God curses the serpent Satan and says, "I will make you and the woman enemies. Your children and her children. Her child shall crush your head, Satan, and you will bruise his heel." Do you see it? God promised to send someone, a child of the woman, to destroy the devil. And that in destroying the devil, this Christ, too, would be bruised. So it was promised by God to Adam in the beginning that the Messiah would destroy the tempter's power and undo his hold on them, and that he would accomplish this through his own suffering and death. Genesis 3:15, the first promise of salvation in the Bible. And it's a promise that is not based on the law. It does not say that Adam and Eve will overcome the devil themselves with their works and obedience and their stick-to-itiveness. The promise is that God will anoint. That means choose. That means Messiah. That means Christ. God will anoint someone born of a woman to crush the devil. God will do it. Adam and Eve will not have to save themselves. They will have to be saved. And they are saved by the Christ, even before he comes, by faith in God's promise of him. And so by believing God's promise, Adam and Eve were justified. Justified. Right before God. The promised child of Eve is the child of Mary, the son of David, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And in due time, this promised Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, anointed in his baptism by John to be that Christ. And in due time, Satan entered Judas Iscariot. Just as he had entered the serpent in the beginning, and Judas sold Jesus down the river to the cross for 30 pieces of silver. And in due time, on the cross, the devil had his day and bruised the heel of Eve's child by inciting sinful men to nail him to his cross. But that cross, by it, the Christ paid for our sins, and in that very act disarmed the devil's power. That bruised child of Eve crushed Satan's power. How were people saved before Jesus? By believing the promise of the Christ to come. How are people saved now? by believing the promise of the Christ that came and who will come again. By grace you are saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, but is, and always was, a gift from God. That's why salvation is called an inheritance. An inheritance is something you didn't earn. It's something somebody else earned and then gave to you. And even though you didn't earn it, it's all yours. Thousands of years after Adam and Eve, Ezekiel spoke another promise from God to his people. And it's in our lesson today. He says, I will set up over the sheep one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. No, this wasn't the first promise since the garden fall. But with each promise in the Old Testament, promise of the Christ to come, the faithful people, those who would hold on to God's word and promise for dear life, the faithful people got a clearer and clearer picture of just what this Christ would be like when he comes. God promises the Christ will shepherd his scattered people. He'll be a shepherd. He promised to search them out. He promises to rescue them. He promises to feed them. You know, throughout the Old Testament, it's like a camera lens that's slowly coming into focus until it comes into focus when Christ does come. He also promises to judge and to destroy the enemies, the false shepherds and the fat sheep that abuse them, the sheep who push with side and shoulder and thrust all the weak with their horns, who hoard the good pasture and muddy the clear water as they drink of it. Yes, God has human enemies. Yes, Satan has children of his own. Jesus says so. And when the Son of Man comes on clouds of glory to judge the living and the dead, he will cast them into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He will feed them, not salvation, but justice. This is God's word. It is most certainly true. You see, without a promise from God, there can be no faith. And without faith, there can be no salvation for sinners. So, little flock, hear God's promise. Hear God's many promises. Hold on to them. Repeat them when you rise in the morning and when you go to bed at night. They are tidily packaged in the Apostles' Creed, though not in the shadows, not in the definite yet blurry pictures we hear from prophets like Ezekiel, that somehow, sometime, God will seek and rescue and deliver, but in the definite, clear picture promise of salvation, that he has sought, rescued, delivered, and accomplished salvation for us in the person and works, the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look in the Old Testament how many promises God gives his people. I will search, I will seek, I will rescue, I will feed, I will be their shepherd. What ridiculous creatures we are to have such assurances from God, our shepherd, and yet fear and doubt and disobey. Faith says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want of anything. So why do God's sheep still fear and doubt and fail to trust him? Perhaps it's because there are so many false shepherds around us who promise much and do little. Donald Trump is going to build a wall, you know, solve all the immigration problems. And Hillary's going to deliver the U.S. to the promised land of universal health care. You're already there. Why do we doubt? Because again and again we put our trust in fallible and flawed human beings who make their own promises of personal salvation for you and never deliver. Psalm 146:3. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. Human beings who promise salvation are fools. And who's the bigger fool? The fool or the fool who believes him? The human heart is an idol factory. It's always finding something new and close and attractive to put its trust in and to solve its troubles. A new leader, a new king, a new pastor, a new savior, a new Christ. If the covetous human heart would only realize that God is closer to you than you are to yourself. He promised to send you one shepherd, his servant David, to feed you, to rescue you, to avenge your enemies, to deliver you to green pastures. Human leaders can come and go, some of them faithful, some of them unfaithful, all flawed, but God makes this promise. He is your one good shepherd, and he never fails to seek out and save the lost. And when he finds them, he picks them up, puts them on his shoulder, and rejoices. He rejoices over one sinner who repents, than over the 99 nice-looking hypocrites who have no use for him. There are so many promises God makes in the lesson today, but I'm ashamed how we treat them. Like campaign promises, we're too cynical to believe, that roll in and out of our ears like water off a duck's back. Remember, when you have a promise from God, remember what it really is you're dealing with. It's the most sure and certain thing in the world for two reasons. God cannot lie, and God cannot fail. Now, I promised I would preach you this to this morning, and as it turns out, I was able to keep it a bit late. The best I can do when I give somebody my word is make sure that when I do everything in my power to keep it. You know, there are some people who, if they don't show, you're not surprised, because they often make promises they don't keep. Others, you know, that if they don't show, they must be dead. I can promise to be here and do everything in my power to keep that promise, but my power is limited. I can fail. I can promise to preach to you today and yet, through no fault of my own, get hit by a drunk driver, or get a flat tire, or have a heart attack, and not be able to make it to the pulpit. Now, I know if that happened, you wouldn't hold it against me, but nevertheless, my promise was broken, wasn't it? Or to put it a better way, my word failed. I said I would be somewhere and I wasn't there. The rest really is details. That's why we need insurance policies, because nothing is certain with sinful men. It's also why insurance companies call hurricanes, floods, and tornadoes acts of God, because he's the only one who could have prevented them. The most reliable human beings in the world can promise you something, but it's still not certain, because all men are sinful. All men can fail, but God cannot fail. My word can fail. God's word cannot fail. And so when he makes a promise, you don't have to take out an insurance policy. You don't have to hedge your bets at all. You can take it to Vegas and go all in, because when God's word is present, it cannot fail. It will always, always, always accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. And that's why if your child dies prematurely, or if you lose your job and can't support your family the way you used to, or if somebody abuses you, takes advantage of you, that has no effect on faith. Because faith does not concern itself where there is no promise from God. And God never promised healthy children or job security or personal safety. Praise Him because He gives us these things more often than not, way more often than we deserve. But we don't have a promise at all for this world except that it's destined for destruction. And so we're fools if we put our hopes in it. Fools who, as Jesus says, build their house on the sand. But God does have a promise of an eternal home, waiting for you beyond this valley of sorrows that is your inheritance through Christ, who baptized you, who won the victory so that you can call His Father your Father. And so every time you hear the Scriptures, listen for these gold nuggets, these promises where God says, "I will," and stake your faith on them. "I will search, I will rescue, I will bring out, I will judge your oppressors, I will bind up the injured." Each one of them more certain than the sunrise tomorrow, which, by the way, you have no guarantee of. But eternal salvation and security for God's sheep? That's a done deal. It was as good as done when He promised it. And now that He has done it, it is finished. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in the promises of Jesus.